I'm entitled.
You want answers.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
This is not conservative republicanism. This is stupidity. They don't know how to take yes for an answer. It's a clown show. If you want to have a stronger hand, run better candidates and win more elections. You keep running lunatics, you're going to be in this position.
I think we're headed for a government shutdown with no end in sight. Part of it is we're not having real conversations.
Take a shot at me. I'm going to say something, you know.
Didn't we go through this back in January? 62275, baby. I ain't worried about none of that stuff.
As you can see there, tempers flaring a bit in the House. House Republicans are in chaos as time runs out to prevent a government shutdown. Congress now has less than 2 weeks to pass at least a stopgap spending bill. And conservative hardliners, they are lining up against Speaker Kevin McCarthy's proposed short-term deal to avoid a shutdown. He's also facing the threat of potentially being ousted as Speaker altogether.
Yeah, the Democrats and the state-controlled media are having a lot of fun and a lot of jokes now at the expense of the GOP and conservatives. If you think it's a laughing matter, you got to keep in mind what's at stake with the elections coming up. We're going to break it down for you. And before I do, let me reassert who you were listening to in the beginning. All three of those speaking were Republicans. New York Congressman Mike Lawler saying, if you want to win more, you got to put better candidates up forward. And Texas Congressman Gonzalez saying, we're not doing what we should be doing. And Florida Congressman Donald saying, we've been here before. Don't worry about it. We'll get over it. And CNN is loving it, as are other state-controlled media and the Democrats. They're watching the Republicans pull the knives and guns on themselves at this point. In fact, the House GOP leadership pulled a procedural vote on a proposed short-term funding gap, the CR. I mean, it is all up in the air. Thank you again for joining us. Here we are, September the 19th, 2023. This is the first of 2 hours of Larry Connors USA back-to-back right here on this station. Reminding you that when we're on the air, you can also pull up feeds from News Talk STL Facebook and Twitter, Larry Connors USA, Facebook and Twitter, and on Rumble. We're available everywhere for you, and in case you miss any of them, you can always go to LarryConnorsUSA.com and pull up podcast, video, and our audio. Glad to have you. So there you have the GOP making it clear in some of the bites that CNN chose to air. They're not putting the words into the mouths of these Republicans. These are what Republicans are saying. We have the hardcore right Republicans, and by right, I mean more fiscally conservative, and they don't want to make any deals. They're tired of kicking the can down the road. And that's what a CR, a continuing resolution, would do, because the government technically runs out of money, and I say technically, September 30. All necessary services would continue. But, of course, there's also been claims that, well, if we don't do this, then it's going to hurt border security. I ask you, what are we doing at the border now that would be changed if suddenly we don't have additional monies for border guards at this point? Nothing, the way the Biden administration is operating. But again, the House was scheduled today to vote at 2:30 to allow the GOP continuing resolution to move forward. But the latest update they sent out at one point earlier today, it stated, not going to be able to do it. It doesn't make any difference what's happened between now and as you're listening to me. The point is the confusion, the battles inside the GOP. The Democrats confirming, quote, the House GOP leadership made changes to the floor schedule. holding it later in the day is possible, is what they had said. At this point, at this hour of the day, I don't really care, because this is again undermining what's coming in 2024. But I'm not saying we simply yield to CR, a continuing resolution. And of course, McCarthy has already been challenged by members of his own party that, look, we got you in here as speaker after 15 ballots. We can certainly take you out of here. That's what they're indicating. Let me let you listen to a few questions posed by CNN. This is a Indiana congresswoman that they're going to refer to, and I want you to read first the quote that they're going to reference. This is Indiana Congresswoman Victoria Spartz. She is, by the way, Ukrainian-born, of course, now an American citizen. Her statement she had issued: it's a shame that our weak speaker cannot even commit to having a commission discuss our looming fiscal catastrophe. Our children will be ashamed of having another worthless Congress. That is a GOP congresswoman, and CNN is gobbling it up.
The decision to release this statement, this was not subtle. Why?
Well, I'll be honest with you. It's unfortunate for me to see what's really happening in our country. And I take full responsibility for the leadership of my party, because I truly believe if we don't stand up and fight for the people, there is no one left there. So, you know, I never vote for leadership in another party. I never support it. But leadership of my party should be accountable to the American people. And we should never be in a situation like that at the end of September, not be able to deal with authorization, with budgeting. This is a number one issue that Congress should have dealt for most of the time. And unfortunately, we spend very little time dealing with our main functions, and everyone does a lot of entertainment. But we have people's lives at stake, and we cannot do politics and circuses. And I always, every leader should take full responsibility. And Kevin should take responsibility for his failure to lead on this. And I offered my help. Listen, this is one issue that I actually have an expertise. I could help. I offered to help, but ultimately it's a decision of a leader if leaders want to lead or not.
You know, those statements, a lot of what she had to say could have been uttered and have been in one form or another by Democrats, full-fledged liberals. I want to read you an opinion piece in The Hill by Max Burns, and the title itself pretty much sets the stage. An out-of-control GOP is the party of nonstop national crisis. That's the title. You get the gist, obviously, where it's going. Opening lines. Stop me if you've heard this one. But congressional Republicans are once again careening toward internal crisis and a damaging government shutdown. You may remember this song and dance from the last four or five times the party's hardline Freedom Caucus members held America's economy hostage. That doesn't make our latest spin on the roller coaster any less nauseating. And on it goes. The Freedom Caucus members are the more conservative group that say we want a full balanced budget and we want cuts. Now, McCarthy had tried repeatedly to meet with his counterpart in the Senate, McCarthy, Democrat. And, of course, that would also have to include the White House. Before we got to this point, they had no interest. They wanted a clean budget bill. By clean, they mean no cuts, raise the spending where we want it, give us everything we want, and then we will be happy. Well, a hell of course you would be happy. And there are too many that are willing to kind of simply acquiesce, bow down, say whatever you want, whatever you want. No, we can't do that. But you do have to recognize compromises have to be made. And honestly, I'm not sure if some Freedom Caucus members even know the word. I'm not criticizing them for taking a hard stand. but you've also got to look for the battles you want to fight and which hill you want to die on. Let's go back to the words of Indiana Congresswoman Spartz.
It's one thing to fight, to get a position, and go and tell different things, but another thing is to fight for the issues and go in the trenches and win these issues. There is a difference, and I haven't seen hard work in anyone in this Congress actually to fight something for we the people, and it is tough because you have a machine coming at you, a lot of special interest groups attacking you with big money. The Senate is so corrupt that we cannot even move, and I told Kevin, I really don't care what the Senate doesn't say. We're an independent branch of government under Republican leadership. We have to lead, and we need to question what's happening in the Senate.
And that I agree with. She made the points that, yes, we do have to fight. We can't just simply acquiesce. But she is, again, one of the hardliners saying, quit bowing down to the Senate. Take control. And she's basically stating, Kevin, you're not doing the job. I want to pick up part of what she said and then add to it.
I really don't care what the Senate doesn't say. We're an independent branch of government under Republican leadership. We have to lead, and we need to question what's happening in the Senate because we also equal chamber. Honestly, I think we're even stronger people because we have to run every 2 years and we have to be more accountable to the American people. But if no one stood up for this country, we're going to fail our children and people that die for it. And I am so sick and tired of BS.
I gotta give the woman credit for being direct. And again, due to the accent, I'll remind you she is Ukrainian born. What is her view on Ukraine and giving more money to Ukraine? We'll be getting into that in the next hour. Now, as Speaker McCarthy is trying to hold his position and GOP members in place and dealing with the continuing resolution or getting a budget of some type, there is, of course, the impeachment inquiry. CNN did an interview with Governor Newsom, California Governor Newsom, to score more points on how they view the impeachment inquiry into the Biden scandal.
Republicans have shown that Hunter Biden, he tried to leverage his father's name, and that the president allegedly, before he was president, joined phone calls that Hunter Biden's business associates were on.
Okay.
Do you see anything inappropriate there?
I don't know enough about the details of that. I mean, I've seen a little of that. If that's the new criteria, there are a lot of folks in a lot of industries, not just in politics, where people have family members and relationships, and they're trying to parlay and get a little influence and benefit in that respect. That's hardly unique. I don't love that any more than you love it or other people, I imagine, love that. We want to see a lot less of that.
Can you stop laughing? I'm holding back because when I have Gavin Newsom stating, we have a lot of folks, a lot of industry, not just in politics, where people have family members and relationships. They're trying to parlay and get a little influence and benefit in that respect. Not unique. He's correct about that. It's not unique. And he says, I don't love that any more than you do or other people. We need to see a lot less of that. This is the same Gavin Newsom who told the state of California, lock down, mask up, stay in, close the restaurants, and then where does he show up? In the Napa Valley, no mask, meeting with lobbyists, shifting around, talking about different things that they want, and what he wants and what he can get from them, what they can get from him, toasting with champagne, enjoying the great food at the French Laundry in Napa Valley. I've been there. The food's okay, overpriced, but at the same time, it was the place to meet. You know why? Because they thought maybe they'd be far enough from reporters that they could open up the French Laundry in Napa Valley when he's ordered the entire state during COVID to shut down. So when Gavin Newsom is talking about, you know, we have all these people trying to get influence, it's not unique. He's correct. He's admitting that. He said, I don't love that any more than you do. That is a lie. He loves doing it as much as anyone else. He just doesn't want you to know it. He said, we need to see a lot less of that. But of course, what he's really leading up to, if you're trying to say, reference it, as Dana Bash pointed out, Republicans have shown that Hunter Biden, that he tried to leverage his father's name and the president, allegedly before he was president, joined on phone calls when Hunter Biden's business associates were on. Do you see anything inappropriate? And of course, Newsom said, well, I don't know details. I'll accept that. But then he goes off on this farm-made speech to basically condemn such relationships if they are out of line and we need less of it. The same guy that took advantage of everything he could as a Democrat governor, along with Nancy Pelosi opening up a hair clinic so she can get her hair styled. Well, I have to have my hair looking good. The hell you do. You're shutting down all the other barbershops, restaurants, and hairstylists, nail salons throughout California, and you think you guys are superior. Where is the left crying out about the superiority of these whites? That's because some of the black Democrats were doing as much as they could as well. It's not a black-white thing. It's a matter of justice. It's a matter of fairness. But, of course, McCarthy's not done trying to lambast anyone who thinks it's a good idea to file impeachment inquiry, just an inquiry, to start learning what is real and factual regarding Hunter Biden and his relationship with his son.
Impeachment inquiry? Give me a break. This is student government. Student government. Threatening debt again, or rather threatening a government shutdown again after we went through that process with the debt ceiling? This is student government. This is a joke. Ready, fire, aim? I mean, this is a perversity of what the founding fathers ever conceived of and imagined. So if that's the best they can do, give me a break.
Give me a break. Give me a break, William. Quinton said, you know, you said McCarthy several times when you meant Newsom. You're absolutely correct. And I was wrong. Thank you, Quentin. Give me a break. No, don't give me a break on that. I have no excuse. I'm an idiot. I have no excuse. Now, you know what? What we have going on, though, is everything that's been unveiled so far is right there in the face of any investigators looking for possible corruption inside any administration. The bank records, the trips on the plane. All Biden had to do many times tell his son, no, you can't get on the plane. But do you really think when they got on the plane, he said, what kind of ice cream did you have? Really? Of course not. And then, of course, the other part of this current continuing resolution as it stands would supposedly help control some of the chaos at the border. If it's passed. Well, I've got some questions along that line because I'm not so sure it would. Biden addressed the UN today, and of course, Ukrainian President Zelensky, more on those later. But again, the GOP title of the CR when it comes to border security, is it just smoke? My next guest will examine it. Lock and load, ready on the right. I want to share something special with you. I've told you how Wellington Environmental works to keep hospitals, schools, businesses safe for their patients, students, clients, employees. Wellington can do the same for you. Perfect example. A relative went to the basement, almost knocked over by the smell. A sewer line had broken. A call to Wellington, a crew was dispatched. First thing, make the home safe. Then clean up the mess. Truly clean it up. Now, I'm telling you this because I want the best for you. Wellington Environmental. Here's the number, 314-644-4930. 644-4930. AAA rating with the Better Business Bureau. 644-4930. Wellington Environmental. Your world. Cleaner, better, safer. Be well with Wellington. I really, really enjoy a great cigar and a premium whiskey. And if you do, you should join me at Lit Cigar Lounge in the district off Highway 40 in Chesterfield. Lit is open to everyone, but I decided to become a member. You can too. Get special gifts, special events. Ladies, don't be intimidated. Bring a group of girlfriends. You'll also enjoy Lit Cigar Lounge. Lit also has a cigar and tobacco shop on Main Street in Old St. Charles. LitSTL.com. LitSTL.com.
And we're down, we go.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Our next guest is an expert when it comes to national security. She's with the Heritage Foundation. And glad to have you back on board. Laura Reese, glad to have you with us.
Thank you, Larry, for having me on.
Let me take a look at the title of the bill, the CR, as it's being presented. Of course, they're going back and forth on exactly what they're going to do. But basically, says it's going to cut spending and end the border crisis. That sounds great. How much is smoke and how much is nothing?
Well, the trying to attach the Secure the Border Act, H.R. 2, which the House passed in May, is extremely significant and very needed. Now, the package as it stands right now would not include the mandatory E-Verify portion of HR2, which is too bad. But the rest of that bill is excellent. And if Republicans are going to peel off, then what would be shaping up is then a clean continuing resolution and then an open border. But if the Republicans were to pass the continuing resolution with most of H.R. 2 attached to it, then the next step would be for the Senate and Biden to make a choice. Do they want an open government with a secure border, or do they want to close the government to keep the border open?
And to that extent, a lot of Democrats have already been complaining about all these illegals are here. Even New York Mayor Adams, we can't handle them, and we're only getting 7,000 or 10,000.
Exactly. Well, they have an opportunity to do something about it and put the money where their mouth is. So that means defunding these operations, but also passing the needed policy changes that would secure the border and enforce the laws and stop the so many volumes of illegal aliens being delivered to their cities.
It would also resume construction of the border wall, correct?
Yes, it would.
Is there any debate now that a wall is not an effective barrier?
Well, the Democrats have abandoned that. They used to believe in a border wall. Clinton did. Obama did. Pelosi did. But now they've gone all in with the radical left that it's just an obstruction to an open border. They are fully in the camp of an open border. And they demonstrate that each time they suddenly go after a state for trying to protect its own border, whether that was Arizona, the past governor, putting up shipping containers where there were gaps in the wall. Then the Fed stepped in, sued them, and said, you have to take it down. And then ditto for the buoys that Texas put into the river. Again, Fed stepped in and sued them and said, you have to remove it. So, you know, the Fed like to say that, you know, immigration is a federal jurisdiction and the states can't act. But the Fed refuse to do their job until the states try, and then the Feds are perfectly capable that they can step in and act.
Well, the other issue that exists within there, the very ones you were naming, Obama and President Clinton had each said, we are a nation built of immigrants, but legal immigration. They stress that repeatedly.
Well, again, the left has moved so radically to farther left that they don't even say that anymore. They have erased the line between legal and illegal immigration. They play word games where they've directed executive branch staff to use the term non-citizen instead of illegal alien.
Right.
Which is just legally inaccurate. Mayorkas calls his open border mass court parole, unconstitutional offering, quote unquote lawful pathways. It's not lawful. It's not constitutional. So, they're not about legal immigration anymore. If they were, then they would enforce the law and encourage people to come lawfully. But as long as it's easier and faster to come illegally, then that's what rational people are going to do, and that's what we're seeing every day.
And there's another development on that front. I want to get to a moment before I leave this particular point. You know, when Title 42 ended, I'm looking at a piece that NBC filed, and the reporter was saying that we were there before the end of Title 42, and we're seeing nearly 10,000 a day, and then the new policies came in and making it more restrictive for asylum, and there were different wait and see how tough restrictions might be, and we're beginning to see people back off. But now it's up to, again, 7,500 crossings in a single day near the Texas El Paso area.
Yep, they're approaching 10,000 again, which was the all-time high right when Title 42 was ending. So Secretary Mayorkas has lost the narrative, and he seems to be lost as well. Haven't seen him. Where is he? He's not saying anything about this.
No.
And it's now September 19th, and they still haven't reported the August numbers, which tells you that they're bad, because when they know those numbers the first week of the following month.
Well, go ahead.
They've just lost complete control.
They've taken a page from what Russia did when the unemployment number, or China rather, when unemployment numbers look so bad, they just stop reporting them.
Yeah.
Just don't report it.
I'm expecting another Friday afternoon or Friday night dump this week on the 22nd for the August data.
They normally drop it off like that, so it kind of gets through the weekend. You're absolutely right. Nobody gets to pay attention or does pay attention, except for you guys at Heritage and those of us who are trying to make sure the public's aware of it. But Title 42, that was one of the first things, of course, that there was an effort to get rid of, in addition to Keystone Pipeline. 42 was basically because of COVID. So they were saying, well, the COVID declared no longer there, then we can drop that. What else is available at this point except seal the border?
Right. Well, I mean, if the president told his agents to enforce the law, detain, stop, catch, and release, then that's what they would do. But the agents are acting under the Biden administration's orders. So what Title 42 did show us, though, when it was in place, was the agents need a all-purpose security measure, so that if part or all of the border is not secure, that agents have the authority to push illegal aliens back to Mexico, whereas Title 42 is just about public health. The agents need a general purpose authority that the administration can say, all right, we need to use this tool either in part or all of the border because we just don't have control over it.
Well, of course, the Democrats are also saying that even the CR is being proposed, or anything proposed by the Republicans, is going to take away Border Patrol agents. If they're not getting paid, if you have a government shutdown, they're not being paid, so we don't have border agents down there. I had a question over and over again. What would be different than what's happening now?
Yeah, well, first of all, that's not true. We get into the same thing that happened with COVID, where you divide the federal government employees into essential and non-essential. And so there are many parts of the federal government that continue operating, even with a quote-unquote closed or a shutdown government.
But is this essential, border control?
Yes.
I would say it is, but do they say it is?
Yes. Yes. Okay. They continue to operate. And then those quote-unquote non-essential employees, when the government eventually does reopen, they all get back pay. But what it should show all Americans is where to draw the line and how to shrink the federal government. If you are not essential, then we shouldn't be paying for those portions of the federal government, and we could slash costs considerably, plus the enormous bureaucracy.
And they all get the back pay once they come back to work anyway when it's over.
In essence, it's a vacation, a paid vacation for many.
Yeah, true. Laura Risa with the Heritage Foundation. This issue, I'm going to spend more time in the next hour with the audience, but I want to get your take on it. The leftist president of Colombia is saying 1 million economic migrants from around the world will exit Colombia and head to the U.S. next year. 1 million.
Well, yep. I mean, that's what we've been experiencing from over 160, nearly 170 countries for the past 2.5+ years. Most of them are economic migrants, so no tell a reporter at that. And it's certainly not grounds for asylum, and yet that's what this administration encourages all these aliens to do, and even labels them all asylum seekers. And the media repeats it, members of Congress repeat it, they're all asylum seekers, when in fact they're not eligible for asylum.
Well, and economic reasons is not a reason to be granted immigration.
Correct. No, you have to be persecuted by your government because of a trait that you can't or shouldn't have to change, your race, your religion, your nationality, your political opinion. And then there's a bogus ground of membership in a particular social group, which we really need to do away with.
And it's not an issue if that we don't have humanity for those who are truly wanting to better their lives, but we can't open the borders on that basis. But the other part of it, I have to ask, I would like your thoughts, and this is very personal, obviously. How does Biden sleep at night thinking about all the children being trafficked across that border in addition to the drugs and what those children are experiencing, and he's responsible for it?
I don't think Biden really knows what's going on unless his staff tells him, and then 10 minutes later he forgets it. So now for the rest of the staff in the White House and DHS and HHS that are carrying this out, I ask the same question. How can they sleep at night?
Yeah.
They are endangering these children, and they are endangering Americans. Because remember, HHS reports that most of the unaccompanied children coming are in their upper teens. And who make up gang members? Gangs? Teenagers. So it is a wide open door for MS-13 gang members and other gangs to come into the U.S., recruit more gang members, and kill Americans and other migrants. It's extremely dangerous. And this is just one facet of this national security and public safety problem. Yeah. I don't know how these people sleep at night. I really don't.
I don't either, especially when I think of the kids. And then you've got those coming in to infiltrate our country to destroy it. I thank you very much, Laura Reese with the Heritage Foundation. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Larry.
You bet. We'll do it again. Yeah, and it's not going to be easily solved. Coming up, a closer look at what Pennsylvania is doing, reference the elections. Hot enough for you? Tired of hearing that question? It's certainly hot enough to damage your lawn and plants. Allen Outdoor Solutions can put in an irrigation system, save your landscaping, and save you from having to drag hoses in this heat. I've known Steve Allen for years. That's why I put my name with Allen Outdoor Solutions. Call 314-647-4800. 647-4800. Check the website, see everything Steve can do for you. AllenOutdoorSTL.com. You can spend a lot of restless nights trying to figure out how you're going to make all those credit card payments. Why not consolidate all your debt into one manageable payment? My friends at Homestead Financial Mortgage can help with a cash out refinance. Contact them today. Take the first step in regaining your financial freedom. Use my website, Larry.HomesteadFinancial.com. Take charge of your financial future. Go to my website, Larry.HomesteadFinancial.com. This time of year, heavy rains, high winds, they can hit, and if you have any loose shingles, even the smallest hole in your roof, you're taking a major gamble with your biggest investment. I can tell you from personal experience, do not wait until you have water where it shouldn't be. Don't forget that John Beale has disaster crews, which can at least cover your roof until the damage can be fully repaired. Homeowner, business owner, call John Beale. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, of course, everyone is asking about election integrity this time around, and rightly so. And of course, if you are an election denier, You're guilty of trying to overthrow the government, insurrection. You're guilty for everything that happened with January 6th, even though you were never even in D.C., never even been there. If you're an election denier on the Republican side, you're part of the effort to overthrow the government. Oh, you can be a Democrat and be an election denier. Stacey Abrams, even Hillary Clinton. Yeah, she did. She acknowledged in the beginning Trump won, but she didn't really acknowledge it, and she continued to question it. And, of course, we've got issues coming up, reference that. We also have the impeachment inquiry involving the Bidens, which, by the way, let me take a note to tell you, and I'll give you more details in the second hour. The House Oversight Committee has scheduled its first impeachment inquiry, the impeachment inquiry into Joe Biden for Thursday, 2 days from now, September the 28th. They're going to focus on constitutional and legal questions surrounding the president's involvement in corruption and abuse of public office. Those are the allegations. We'll see what comes of it. Now, reference the issue of voter integrity. Assuming Biden is still running or he's not, doesn't make any difference who's running on which side. Are you going to have a fair and legitimate election in 2020? I hear you. I hear you yelling back at me. No, we're not. Well, we hope we will, and we got to take steps to ensure it. But here's one example that could be the first of other dominoes to fall. The state of Pennsylvania, where the U.S. Constitution was written, second state admitted to the Union, has participated in all 59 presidential elections. It is considered a battleground state. It did vote Democrat in six elections prior to 2016, and then, of course, the election saw Donald Trump win by 0.7%. 0.7. Pennsylvania was one of the three blue wall states that you saw the network commentators on CNN and MSNBC and the rest of the state-controlled media constantly pointing and standing in front of their big maps and saying, Trump may be winning here, may be winning here, but he can't get through or break through the blue wall. That's where the electoral votes are so crucial. You got Pennsylvania, which has 19 electoral votes. Then you had Michigan and Wisconsin. Well, he did break through the wall. Due to the shifting geographics of our nation, demographics, Pennsylvania now has just half the electoral votes it had 100 years ago. That's understandable. People moving west, south. It used to have something like 38 electoral votes. Now it has 19. And right now, looking at the latest electoral vote college prediction for Pennsylvania, it is a toss-up. So once again, it's a battleground. And with Trump winning by just 0.7% when he ran against Hillary in particular, he obviously is not holding strong, and we don't know how strong it's going to be this time. There will be so many people that will be voting anti-Trump, period. When you look at 2020, when he ran against Biden, Biden got 50% of the vote in Pennsylvania. Trump got 48.8%, losing by a small margin that time. So you could call Pennsylvania maybe at this point purplish. You want to go with that one? It is now the latest state to roll out automatic voter registration. When a citizen, and I stress a citizen, but I know how many times that's violated in some states. If you're an illegal and you get a driver's license, will you also be automatically enrolled in voting in federal elections? Some states have already allowed illegals to vote in local elections, be they school elections, county, mayoral, but not federal elections. But Pennsylvania, with its Pennsylvania Democrat governor, just signed and became the 24th state implementing automatic voter registration. It's been underway since 1993. It's nothing new. It's just a matter, really and truly, if they had an interest in voting, I think they should be forced to make an extra effort. But no, they're just going to roll it out. They've been doing that. As the Democrat governor points out, by expanding voter registration at our DMVs, we'll save taxpayers time and money, reducing the number of costly paper registrations and streamline voting registration in Pennsylvania. That is a bunch of malarkey. That's not the point at all. It's taking advantage of them at that time. Is there a benefit for Republicans doing it? Sure there is. But it also opens up the door for Democrats to rush the door and claiming, I'm here for a driver's license so I can automatically be enrolled to vote. And then the question is, are they being verified as a U.S. citizen? In Pennsylvania now, the process goes from 19 screens of questions to 11 with automatic voter registration. They say it's a common sense step to ensure election security. Now, nearly half of the states have made registration processes automatically. I have a plus-minus view of it. If it's a legitimate citizen, I have no issue with it. But I want to know, are they actually verifying and documenting if they are or not legal? President Joe Biden, in the meantime, has said September the 19th, which will be today, is National Voter Registration Day. By the way, the president, of course, began his day in New York at the United Nations, where he addressed the members at the United Nations. We'll tell you what he had to say.
You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
Wow, that was my reaction when I walked into Napoli C, now open on the streets of St. Charles, right next door to Napoli 3. And Napoli C is like walking into a two-level submarine. Fish just outside the portholes. The menu is going to be filled with various seafood, lobster, crab. Good luck with choosing. Napoli C is now open on the streets of St. Charles. Join me at any Cafe Napoli. Clayton, Town and Country, Napoli 3 in St. Charles, are right next door, Napoli C.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Mr. President, Mr. Secretary General, my fellow leaders. About a week ago, I stood on the other side of the world, in Vietnam, on soil once bloody with war. And I met a small group of veterans, Americans and Vietnamese, who witnessed, and I watched the exchange of personal artifacts from that war, identification cards and a diary. It was deeply moving to see the reaction of the Vietnamese and American soldiers. Culmination of 50 years of hard work on both sides to address the painful legacies of war and to choose to work together toward peace and a better future. Nothing about that journey was inevitable. For decades, it would have been unthinkable for an American president to stand in Hanoi alongside a Vietnamese leader and announce a mutual commitment to the highest level of country's partnership.
Well, those are lofty words, and I'm not going to criticize what the president had to say, except if you take it in the context he's speaking to the United Nations, which is all about world order anyway. But he does point out that there was a time that you cannot imagine a U.S. president being in Hanoi. There was a time you could not imagine an American president being in China, as Nixon did. And there is a statement he made that bears an examination, talking about how they exchanged gifts and things and mementos, that in the past they would have been exchanging bullets. I'd mentioned to you the other day, Netflix is now re-airing the original HBO episode of Band of Brothers. There is, in one of the concluding sessions, episodes, I'm not going to give everything away. Well, you know they fought the war, and the war is won by the Americans. I hope you know that piece of history. But then there's a time when the Germans and the Americans are at peace, and the war and the fighting's over. They're just men with their own families they want to go back to and resume their lives. I also had noted the other day for you that the first episode of Band of Brothers about these troops, and again, this was created by Steven Spielberg and Tom Hanks based on the nonfiction book of Stephen Ambrose, I should say. The first episode aired, are you ready? September 9, 2001. 2 days before 9/11. Now, of course, there was a time after Pearl Harbor. The animosity was there even when the war was over for what the Japanese had done under the emperor on his instructions and against the Germans for the Holocaust. I took note of another documentary last night called The Ordinary Men, talking about German soldiers who were basically cooks, bakers, carpenters, teachers, and they were going to be drafted to go to the front line. They did not want to fight in the war. They were told you could sign up to be a police officer in Poland and other places to maintain control over areas that we have under our belt at this time. And they thought, well, that's better. I'm just controlling civilians. I'm not dealing with someone trying to shoot and kill me. And from there came the death squads that would take groups of men, women, children, usually Jews, strip them naked in front of each other, put them into a pit, and fire repeatedly until everyone was dead. And he was examining the fact and statement that these men who were doing this did not have to do it. They had been given an opportunity when they were first told of the order to come. If you don't think you can do it or don't want to, you can step out. Well, of course, no one did for a while because they're afraid if I say I don't want to, what happens to me? Am I being executed? And finally, one brave German stepped out of the line and said, I can't do that. I can't shoot innocent men, women, and children who have no weapons. And then others stepped out. Now, for those who stayed behind, they either stayed because they thought, well, it is our duty. Somebody's got to do it. And maybe they labeled the others cowards. But the animosity was there for some anyway. When the war ended, both in Europe, victory in Europe, and later in Japan, that did not put an end to the hate. It does still exist for many today. I will distinctly remember that when they opened the first Japanese-made, or actually German-made, the Beetle, Volkswagen Beetle, in West Texas, the dealership was immediately besieged by angry folks. How dare you sell a German car here? This was in the 1960s, 20 plus years after the war almost. Now it's very common, German, Japanese vehicles all over. It's not that people forget, but they learn to live together. What Biden said today in those opening statements at the UN was basically built on that premise. There was a time you never could have imagined a U.S. president being in Hanoi. That's correct. And could not imagine those of opposing sides coming together, shaking hands and exchanging gifts or items instead of shooting each other. The United Nations was originally created with the idea that it would be, quote, united and it would be good for all the world. Unfortunately, it got hijacked. But if they returned to the central mission, that would be good for the world. But of course, another part of the UN right now is green pie in the sky and progressivism and Marxism and a push to accept communism. We're going to spend more time on Biden's appearance in front of the UN, and also Zelensky appeared. Biden today trying to make a forceful call that the world has to stand up against Russia. Zelensky is trying to make it clear that we need continued support. But a senior House Republican lawmaker said there are not enough Republican votes for us to send more money to Ukraine. Next hour, remember our pledge, one nation under God,